All right. Well, praise God. Let's turn to John chapter 20. Today I want to begin a subject. I don't know if I will stay on this subject because I've got a new series in my heart on prayer that's going to be coming up called Lift. And that's going to be whether I start that next week or whether I start it the following week. I'm not sure yet. Let's see how far we get today with Beyond. I believe God has some things to say to our church. He's got some things to say to us as individuals. Because every time you open up the Word of God, it should do one of two things to you, perhaps both. And that is, number one, it should possibly show you something new about your Heavenly Father. Or number two, it should reinforce and make a belief that you already have from the Word of God stronger in your life. And so let's, as we approach John chapter 20, let's pray and thank God for the opening of His Word. Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit being in this place. We thank You, God, for the Holy Spirit leading and guiding into all truth. Father, as I share the Word of God today, Lord, that You would use me, speak through me, be glorified, and draw all men unto Yourself. Strengthen the believer in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 20. The title of this message is Beyond, and the reason why it's called Beyond is because as I was praying about the Sunday after Easter, and I'll be honest with you, in almost 30-plus years of ministry, I have never looked forward to the Sunday after Easter, because usually the attendance drops, and it's usually one of those things where as an associate pastor of a church down in Florida for many years, I would end up getting assigned the Sunday after Easter. And it was always like, I felt like there was nobody there. And I'm so thankful that you guys came today and that you're watching today. But as I was praying about that, I felt like the Lord was kind of correcting me, saying, wait a second, there's so much more after Easter.
Amen.
There's so much more. And so that's where the title came in, Beyond. And then I wrote this out as I was praying. Beyond the cross, there's an empty tomb.
Yep.
Beyond the empty tomb, there's a new life.
Oh, amen.
Beyond a new life, there's a powerful promise. Will you go beyond?
Yeah.
Not all will go. Some will stay at the sorrow and agony of the cross. Some will go beyond to find a new life, and fewer still will receive the power that's promised. There is a doubt-defeating, fear-eliminating peace, presence, and purpose waiting for you beyond. Will you step in? John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Now, we left off here last week, if you will. In John chapter 20, we picked up, let's just go ahead and pick up verse 11 right now. Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord. I do not know where they've laid him." Now when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is teacher. She recognized his voice. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples what she had seen, that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the apostles the same day at that evening. Now, I want you to understand, verse 19 is where we're going to pick up today. This is what I want you to see. It says, and then the same day at evening, it's the same day, right? Say the same day.
Same day.
Being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Verse 19 gives us some amazing facts that I believe have to do with our church. I believe that it not only has to do with that, it has to do with where you are personally. I believe that it has to do with also, obviously, it's speaking right to them. But there were three things that I want you to notice about verse 19. Three things. First of all, the doors were locked. They were shut. Now, why was that? Well, verse 19 continues on and tells us why. The doors were locked, they were shut, because the disciples were huddling in fear.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to let that sink in just for a minute, because I believe God wants to unleash the church in this day and hour.
That's right.
The doors were shut, they were locked. Why? Because they were retreating from life. These are the same disciples that watched him raise the dead. These are the same disciples that watched him deliver the demoniac. These are the same disciples that he called their name. He knew their name. The last couple of days I've been listening to a soundtrack from Jesus from Sight and Sound Theaters. And there's one song in that particular presentation of the life of Jesus where it's, he called me by name.
Yeah.
He called me by name. These men had seen the miraculous, but they saw Jesus die on a cross. They've heard now, this is the same night of Easter Resurrection Day. They heard that maybe he rose from the dead, but they hadn't really been convinced yet. They heard the stories from the women, and they weren't fully convinced quite yet. The doors were locked. They were retreating from life. What are they going to do? They were probably wringing their hands. We've left everything to follow him. Now he's dead. What now? They're going to come after us next. Lock the doors. Shut the windows. They might come after us next. Fear had paralyzed them.
Yeah.
Fear causes you to be paralyzed. Now, we're going to come back to John 20. And I'm not going to forget. I want you now to go to Luke 24. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 13. Now, apparently, there were two disciples. They ran. They weren't even going to stay in town. They weren't staying around. Now, it doesn't say who they were, and it doesn't say that they were actually of the 12. Perhaps they were of the 70. We don't know exactly who they were. But I love what it says in verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day. Remember, it's the same day. Same day of the resurrection. To a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. 7 miles. That's about from here to Katona, maybe. Right? 7 miles. And they talked together of all the things that had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, What kind of conversation is this that you're having one with another as you walk and are so sad? Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" In other words, where were you, man? You mean you don't know what happened? And he said to them, "What things?" And so they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. And yes, certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who had said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Then he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Verse 28, "And they drew near to the village. And when they were going, he indicated that he would have gone on further. They constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us. It is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. He vanished from their sight." "And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? I want you to notice that there is a similarity in the 11 that kind of went up into the room and locked the doors, and these two disciples, Cleopas and another, that just, they didn't know what to do, so they left town. You know, sometimes fear causes us to run. Sometimes fear causes us to go at home, pull in the shades, and just cause us to do nothing. As a church, I want to speak to you as pastor. Let's not be a church that does nothing. Let's not just be a church that gets paralyzed with fear, but that we continue to preach this gospel, that we continue to reach out, that we continue to find ways that the Holy Spirit will show us to minister to people in this day and hour. Notice what happened. The doors were locked. Go back to John 20. The doors were locked. They were retreating from life. In verse 19, they were afraid. Fear will paralyze you. And if you've never had a paralyzing fear in your life, you know, there are moments. There are moments when that can happen. But I got to tell you, when you've got Christ on the inside, you do not have to fear like that.
Amen.
You do not have to stay in that state, but you can resist that and know that, look at what happens. Jesus stood in the room. He stood in the room. He stands in those places, even those difficult places. So the doors are locked. They're paralyzed with fear. The third thing, Jesus stands right in the middle of that. So whatever fear you might face, whatever fear that tries to come on our church, I want you to know something. Jesus stands in the midst.
Thank you, Lord.
Right here. He's right here right now.
Amen.
Why? Because you're here. You brought his presence with you.
Amen.
As a child of God, you've received him into your life. you bring the presence of God with you. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 18 in verse 19, if any two of you agree as touching it, if any two of you agree, it will be done. When you pray, you agree together. There is power in agreement. There is a place that God wants us to get to that we can resist fear. I'm not talking about being foolish. I'm not talking about being belligerent. I'm not talking about being rebellious. I'm talking about not being in fear. And that can be you. That can be me. That can be our church. We will not bow to fear. And one of the things that you'll notice is that Jesus stands in the room. He walks in to a closed off place. See, so no matter what that fear is, and no matter how closed off you think you might be, how isolated you might be, you can be isolated in depression, worry, grief, fear, you name it. The enemy will try to keep you in that kind of prison. But I got news for you. Jesus walks through doors.
Yes, he does.
And he'll come through those places that you feel like you've closed everything off, and he'll come right through to walk to be there for you.
Amen.
Jesus walks into the room. And there are three things that he gives. Three things. Three things that he gives to you and to me that I want you to notice. In verse 20, when he had said this, he showed them his hands. This is after he said, peace be with you. He showed them his hands and his sides. His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, peace to you. He said it twice. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you've forgiven sins of any, they are forgiven. They are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Three things that Jesus brings to us in that state. He brings it to our church. He brings it to you as individuals. He brings it to us. First of all, he says to you, peace. Peace be to you. Peace. It's actually a little bit deeper than shalom. Just by the way he said it. Because first of all, he emphasized it and he said it twice. He said, peace. Peace. Shalom essentially in the Hebrew context means nothing broken, nothing missing. Be at peace. Anxiety, worry, fear, grief, torment has to go. You don't have to stay there anymore. The presence of Jesus is there. So the first thing that he does is he gives us peace. The second thing that he does is he gives us presence. His presence. He is with you. Remember what he said at the end of the Gospels, and behold, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is there in the midst of you. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul when he was going through horrible times in his life of persecution. He says this, he said, and the Lord stood by me.
Yes.
There are moments in our lives when you can feel the presence of God almost tangibly your life.
Come on, talk about it.
That's how real he wants to be to you and to me. You see, we're not talking about a fictitious Jesus, some legend. We're talking about a real risen Christ. When you hear people talk about how they know Christ, it's almost like they really know him. It's because they do. We know his voice. He called us by name. As I've listened to that song over and over with my 11-year-old, it's one of our favorite songs on the Sight and Sound track. We're driving down the road. She says to me, and normally I don't like to talk about her in sermons, so she's not in here, so she can't get mad at me. She said, Daddy, why do you like that song? Because every time I hear that song, my eyes get filled with tears. And I said, that's because I remember the day. I remember where I was when he called me. I remember standing, hanging on to that pew when the invitation to come and receive Christ. I think my fingerprints were burned into the wood because I was hanging on. I was 15. The pastor gave the invitation and they were just singing the song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." I was with one of my friends that I was not doing such nice things with, hanging out with him. He was older than I. He had drove. He had a car. We were getting into some mischief. I was 15. I looked at him, and he was a little taller than me, a little bigger than me. I looked at him. I go, "John, are you going to go down?" He goes, "No." I go, "I'm going." I left it behind.
Yeah.
That day, I gave my heart and my everything to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to and so when I hear that song, "He called me by name," it takes me right back to that moment. Right back to that day. I can almost smell and feel that day because he called me by name. The presence of Christ that he gives you and me and this church, he's here. The word tells us where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Does that mean that somehow it's some kind of magic when we get two Christians together? No. What that means, if you study the Greek language at all, it says that he manifests himself in a different way when believers come together. That's why we need to stay together. We need to come together. We need to look for opportunities to gather. Gather online, gather physically, but connect with the body of Christ, because there is strength and there is the presence of God. So three things he gives us. He gives us peace. Nothing broken, nothing missing. He emphasizes it two times. They needed it. Maybe you've needed it. Maybe this last year and a half has been hard. Maybe it's been real hard. Shalom. He's saying it to you. Shalom. He'll say it again. He's standing in the midst of your issue, your problem, your worry, your concern. He's there. The second thing is he gives us his presence, because guess what? Jesus can walk through doors.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, that's going to be exciting when we get a body just like his. Talk about superhero stuff. Some people try to explain this all away and say, "Well, it was just a spirit."
No,
no, no, no, no, no,
no,
no. 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 Why would he say to Thomas, "Touch my hands, touch my side"?
Come on.
Why would he eat?
That's right.
Yeah. If he was just some kind of ghost.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. We are talking about, as I said last week, the greatest, most significant miracle in the universe.
Lord.
Is the resurrection,
Lord,
of Jesus Christ.
Lord.
Talk about superhero stuff. We are not talking about Marvel, and we're not talking about DC. We're talking about JC.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
And he walks through walls.
Go on.
And he can speak to winds and storms and say, "Peace, be still." And he speaks to your soul. Your place that you've sequestered off. He says, "Peace, Be still. So he gives us his shalom. He gives us his presence. Notice what he did there. It says he breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now it's interesting because we're a spirit-filled church. We believe that there is an experience that happens after salvation where you are endued with power from on high. We get that, not just from this verse, but from also Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. We get that from there. Because had the disciples died after this, this is before the day of Pentecost, they weren't endued with power from on high, but they had the Holy Spirit living on the inside. They were born again. Right here. This is where they were born again. They weren't born again in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit fell on them in power and anointing. No. That's where they got the power to be his witnesses. But here is where they got the Holy Spirit coming on the inside, taking their lifeless spirit and giving them a new life. They went beyond. They went beyond. He's calling us to go beyond the cross. Don't just stare at the cross or watch the Passion of the Christ and just weep, because it doesn't end there.
Come on.
Don't just stay at the tomb, the empty tomb, and say, well, I've got new life. No, he also gives us a promise of power. And he gives us a purpose. He gives us a purpose. The third thing that he gave is he gave a purpose. Notice what he said here. He said, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. You now have a purpose. You have a purpose like none other. You know, I hear a lot of young people, because of where I work in technology, people often talk about purpose, purpose, purpose. And sometimes it all makes sense, but then sometimes it's kind of like, but you're really missing something. There's something deeper than just making it in life. There's something so much deeper. And sometimes when I'm talking to coworkers, I can see the longing in their eye. They want something more. That purpose is only found in Jesus Christ. So he not only gives us peace, he not only gives us his presence, he gives us purpose. And he says, Even as I also send you, even the Father has sent me, I send you. Jesus is sending this church. Now, it's great that we're involved in missions. That's admirable. We're not doing what I believe that ultimately we should be doing in missions. It's not about money either. It's about involvement. It's about encouragement. But I also believe that there are neighbors that are right around the corner from us. There are co-workers that need the message of Jesus Christ. They need to be born again. They need to find the purpose that their life has. They need somebody to come and break into their locked off place and say peace. Peace. He's got peace for you. You know, recently, you know, the Lord has been just dealing with me to be a little bolder. So I have a coworker that's dealing with some issues, and I sent him a text in the break room. Because everybody's quiet in our break room. First of all, we're socially distanced. We got these plexiglass things everywhere. You don't feel like you can even really talk to anybody. You walk in, you feel like you're in a library. So he's sitting across the way, and you could tell he was in pain. And I said to him, I sent him, because he visited our church one time, and he told me, he says, I'm coming back. I'm going to come back and visit you. He's a young man. And I said, listen, I noticed that you're hanging on to your back. What's going on? He says, military and this and that and the other, and I just got a bad back. And I said, so I sent him a scripture. And he looked at me, and he goes, He goes, "Are you for real? Because I sent him James 5:16, if any sick among you." And he looked at me and goes, "You pray for my back? I'll let you know when I'm ready." And I go, "Okay." I said, "Because the Bible says believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover."
Yes.
So I've been a little bit more bold where I am. I want to tell you, the boldness comes from one particular thing in my study of Scripture. When you know God is with you, you will do anything He tells you. When you know God is with you, you will do anything He tells you. It's just knowing He's right there. I got news for you. He gave you His peace. He gave you His presence. He's right there. And now He gives you a purpose. Now, sometime as we get a little bit further into the spring and summer, I'm going to have Pastor Joe come. And on that Sunday, we're going to get ready that Sunday. So what do you mean? Pastor Joe's going to come and he's going to bring the word. And when he brings the word, he's going to talk about how he got saved, how he met Jesus. It's going to be life-changing for anybody who hears it, even if you already know Christ. Because it will reinforce the fact that He's a real God.
Yes, He is.
And He shows up in those closed off places.
Yeah.
He'll walk through a wall for you.
Yeah.
And His presence is there. And His purpose is there for you and for me. Now continue on in verse 26. Remember Thomas? We always like to... Sometimes people like to say bad things about Thomas. I don't say anything bad about Thomas because I can identify with Thomas. In fact, I said this last week, Thomas... Actually, let's pick up verse 24. Thomas didn't quite believe, right? Verse 24, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came." So he didn't see this. He wasn't part of peace. Peace. Let me breathe on you. Or purpose. He wasn't part of that. Notice what happened. He says this. He says, "Hey, I'm not going to believe." Listen to what he says. "The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of his nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" He's pretty adamant.
Lord have mercy.
You and I have done the same thing when God's been trying to talk to us. And verse 26, "And after 8 days," 8 days later, "the disciples were again inside the room." They're still hanging out in the room. They're still dealing with fear, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, "And Thomas was still with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, stood in the midst of them." Again, what does he say to them again? "Peace. Peace be to you." And he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here. Look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God."
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Folks, that's you and me. Because we haven't seen, but we believe. And verse 30, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. Verse 31, if you don't have this underlined or starred in your Bible, you should. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Amen? Praise God. Today, I just want to share with you, church, he's given us his peace, his presence, and his purpose. His peace, his presence, and his purpose. All of those should move us beyond where we are. Now, well over a year ago, we started this whole thing beyond the blue chair.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that too.
Because we were not in a nice place like this to meet. We were in another place.
Beyond the blue chairs.
Thank God it was provided for, but it was not where we as a church needed to be. We said God's going to bring us beyond the blue chair. I believe that was a physical movement. Now I'm speaking to our church family here. If you're new, or I'm speaking as pastor to us, I believe he's speaking to us prophetically. He's here. He's saying peace. Quit worrying about things. Stop it. Do the right things. Use wisdom. But accept this peace, church. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Secondly, accept his presence in your life daily. Going to work, social distance, masks, vaccines, the whole nine yards. Accept his presence. But take on that purpose. Because there's somebody that you sit next to at work that doesn't know Christ. There's somebody in your neighborhood. There might be a family member. There's somebody who needs a touch from heaven. Just like he called my name as a 15-year-old. He called you. He called us. Let's respond to that call. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I primarily was talking to the church. And if you're watching online and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to be born again. For me, it was, I grew up in church. I knew about the stories in the Bible, but it just hadn't moved from here to here until that Sunday when he called me by name. I felt that tug. Doug. Doug, I have more for you. Go beyond just mere knowledge of Christ. Receive him into your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to jump through a bunch of hoops. And just simply put, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. You believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for your sins. He suffered on the cross for you. It was personal. Just like his resurrection is real and physical, his suffering was real. And it was for you. And it was for me. The Bible tells us, believe in our heart and confess him with our mouth. Real simple. If I were to hold, an item out and said, oh yeah, I'm going to give this iPad to you. Pastor Joe, how would you receive this iPad? You'd reach out and take it, wouldn't you? That's the same way of receiving Christ. You just reach out and you receive it. You receive the forgiveness. You receive his new life. So right now, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. I'd like everybody to repeat after me if you feel comfortable. And for those that have never prayed the prayer before, they'll hear our voices and it will help them in their prayer, whether they're online or here in person. Just say, Father God, I come to you. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead. And I believe that he has a plan for my life. I call him my Lord and my Savior from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that simple prayer with me for the first time, or a prayer similar like that, I want you to know that the Bible calls that being born again. And we believe in being born again.
Amen.
And so we have some things we'd like to give you. You can message us on Facebook. If you're here today, physically, in person, and you prayed that prayer, and you'd like, I'd like you to just tell somebody that you received Christ today. Let us know so that we can give you some things to help you in your walk with Christ. Praise God. If you need prayer for anything, prayer for healing, prayer to receive the blessed baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes on in power with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, if that is you and you want that, you want to be prayed for with that, we would like to pray for you. There'll be those that'll be hanging around up here. There'll be me. I'll be at the back. I'll be happy to pray for you. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live this Christian life. If you're online watching, we'd like to pray for you. Message us. If not, just let us know. Drop us a note, email. God bless you. We're going to close with our closing verse right now. And we're just going to speak this over our church family, over our lives right now. And this comes out of Psalm 121, 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. You are dismissed.